Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56, and we're going to look at a small section of that. A small section. Luke 1, verse 26, and the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive, and in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and in his kingdom there shall be no end. I say that's Esophon. There's never going to be an end of his sovereign rule and reign. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Because she was engaged, a spouse. We're not married yet. But Joseph, how can this be? I've not known a man. And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, and into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacchaeus, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe in Elizabeth's womb leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For, behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He that showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her, that is Elizabeth, about 3 months, and returned to her own house. Now, I love this, I entitled this Mary's Song of Praise and Thankfulness. And it starts basically in verse 46 and goes through 55. May we follow this morning her lead. May we follow her lead of extreme praise and thankfulness. But before we go there, first I'd like to take a look at the miracle itself. The miracle itself. The Lord said unto Mary, Fear not, for God, you have found favor with God. And in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, Joseph. Now, this miracle, I don't care what they say about Mary, but there never was such a thing realized in all the world. Mary immaculately conceived the Redeemer and Savior of men's souls. Such was the command, such was the event foretold, and such was the glory revealed. In this miracle, what you specifically, he says in verse, well, what we see here is the Lord regarding the whole of what we see here in this message is the exhortation of God. Verse 52. He says also a filling of a miracle of God visiting Mary. It's a present help to a humble, she calls herself, servant. 54. And I step back and say, yes, because all the scriptures is about Christ. Substitutionary work that we do. Instead of everyone who has been reconciled to God through the everlasting righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. This, what we see here in what actually happened, and this miracle, is summarily what takes place when this gospel, that's simply the good news, when most of you know that what God, through the angel Gabriel, told Mary was delightful news. Scary. Go back in the same chapter of Elizabeth, who was absolutely dead. Good news. As the gospel goes forth, power and redemptive dynamite, the dumas of the gospel, to everyone that has been chosen, called, and quickened by God the Holy Spirit. What was done here, we have no doubt, no question, is a miracle. And I know we've looked at this before, but let's look at it again. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. This is the seriousness of what when we gather together. We're not playing with this. We're not saying how early we can get here or try to use it. We're not doing any of this. But look with me at verse. Well, let's just read. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding, Matthew 11, verse 1, commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John, as John the Baptist, heard in the prison that the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto them, art thou, he said unto him, told them to ask Christ, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, to John's disciples, go and go to John. Received their sight. That's obviously the lame. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. The poor free. Now, in this verse, elevation. We are one body, one hope, one thought, one Lord. It's a miracle of the gospel, if indeed it is, is being preached. That ought to thrill us that we're listening to a miracle of the grace of God. We could go almost any church, probably any church, far as I know, in this town, and you're not going to hear it. You're not going to hear it. But the gospel is preached and it's truly a miracle. It's a miracle of divine making to hear the gospel, to believe the gospel, and to keep believing his gospel. Look at the similarities. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 and 35. It says Gabriel was sent, and he was speaking to Mary. Mary did not come to God. God came to her. That's the gospel. You can't come to God. You will not come unto him that you may have life. The gospel's got to come to you, and God's got to come down on this earth. In his humiliation. Born of a virgin. Flesh of our flesh. Bone of our bone. Made like unto us without sin. That's the way of the gospel. Mary did not come to God. God came to her. Secondly, Mary was without child. And then she's with child. That's a free gift. That's a free gift of grace. It's a free gift of humanity. It's just a free gift. And I like to say, I like to go to the lowest common denominators. These things make sense to me. It's she didn't have a child, and she did have a child. You come in here, you may not understand the truth, the gospel, and you hear, and maybe you've heard for years, and then God the Holy Spirit takes the words and applies them to your heart. And you say, I magnify the Lord. How does the Spirit move? How does the Spirit work? It blows to whomever, however, whenever He wills. But He will use the foolishness of the preaching. Third thing, similarities. She was religious, yet it was not the reason God sought her out. No, if you look at Matthew, and I recommend it, but it's not something that we usually do. If you go to Matthew chapter 1 and you look at those genealogies, there's a reason for those genealogies. Because it takes the genealogy, and one of the last persons mentioned in that genealogy is Joseph, the spouse to Mary, whom the Lord was going to come forth. So choosing this gospel, this gospel of God's grace, it was prophesied, it was foretold, predestinated her unto adoption, as he does all. In similar fashion, this is how God saves sinners like you and I. It's a miracle. He has to do the work. He has to do the work. We're without Christ, and then by the grace of God, we're with Christ. And he didn't snap his fingers. You hear, and I know the Puritans used to say you'd have to go through so many months of despair and struggle. I don't know about any of that. Some believers did, some believers didn't. You may be like Paul. He's just riding the religious hobby horse, and then he'd knock you off your horse. And then he's going to say, through the preaching of the gospel, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. So that's just the first thought. It's just this beautiful gospel illustration of the miracle of the birth of Christ. Now, secondly, this is the context, the main heart of what I wanted to get to. Let us duplicate Mary's praise and thankfulness as God's child. So, has Christ redeemed you? This is going to be said of you. If not, maybe this will be said of you today. Let's look at it. Look, starting in verse 46. And Mary said, Mary, the wife of Joseph, the mother of our Lord, the first thing she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. We're just going to look at each one of these verses just briefly. I like looking at the Hebrew and seeing what these words mean. My soul, that simply is all of me. My heart, my body, my soul. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Magnify, declare great, extol, or heap praise upon the Lord and Him alone. She says, she's not, my soul doth magnify the Lord. The Lord, because He's done it all. He's visited me. She didn't say anything about Gabriel here, though he was the messenger. And you don't talk about me. Because I'm just a messenger. And if you are used of God to share the gospel and somebody believes, you're just a messenger. You should just stand back. The true gospel preacher wants to become invisible. You don't want to pay any attention. He has visited us, like he did Mary. He has turned our night into day, for he himself is our day spring. Look at verse 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Rejoiced. That is to be exceeding glad in God our deliverer, or in Christ more properly. We rejoice. Our spirit rejoices in God and Jehovah my Savior. Verse 48. He hath regarded. The low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He hath regarded. That means to look with favor or pity. Or I like this one. To have respect unto. Now, where's that? How's that? Can you think of another Old Testament illustration where God had respect unto one and didn't the other? Cain and Abel. God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice. Therefore, he had respect for Abel, but he did not Cain. He hath regarded. We are exceedingly glad that our God, for reasons found only in himself, has sought us, redeemed us, taught us, and he will keep us. And he says, which this is taken out of context, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, call me graced, call me happy. Not and never to be worshipped. We do not worship Mary. We do not worship a person. But we are very thankful that the Lord used her to bring forth our Redeemer. Verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. He hath done for me mighty things. That is powerful. That is capable. Great things. Magnificent or perfect. And yes, God in Christ is and does for us through our substitute. Everything he does is magnificent and is perfect. We find no fault in him. Verse 50. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Mercy. We know what this word signifies. Is giving someone something they do not deserve. And we by nature and practice do not deserve the least of his tender mercies. But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. I like this verse 51. He hath showed strength with his arm and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath showed strength. That is dominion and might, as is in Daniel. Let's turn there. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. You remember he walked out on the porch one day and he looked at the kingdom. He says, man, look at what I've done. I'm really something. And that, as soon as the words came out of his mouth, the Lord smote him and humbled him and broke him. And this is what he said. Very similar to the word usage is what Mary said in verse 34 and 35. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. You know, really, the people who do not understand the gospel, they say we're fanatics and we're out of our mind. No, people who don't understand the gospel are out of their mind, and the Lord brings us back to our right mind. That which we were created, which we lost. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion, there's that word, is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. That sounds like what we just read. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, are saying to him, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" He has showed strength, might, and dominion. And it says he has scattered the proud. Scattered, that's to rout. That's to winnow. Just remember Ruth and Boaz, the process of winnowing was to separate the chaff and the wheat. And the good, that's what that word is. He scatters the proud and the imagination of their hearts. Verse 52, he hath put down the mighty with their seats and exalted them of low degree. She's owning her sinnerhood. She says, "I'm of low degree. I'm nothing. I'm a handmaiden. I'm a servant." He, Jehovah God, separates the goats from the sheep. He puts down one and exalts the other, as he did Jacob and Esau. Puts down one and raises another. Verse 53. And he hath filled the hungry. That's me. That's you. Spiritual hunger with good things. And the rich he has sent away empty. Filled. That means satisfied. Aren't you satisfied with Christ? Aren't you satisfied with His gospel? I was in religion, and I was never satisfied. Of course, I was too busy doing other stuff that I wanted to do. But when I heard the truth of the everlasting gospel, the ancient gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, stop walking around, stop looking around. That's what I don't understand. People, they keep looking around. And he said, "Well, this doesn't satisfy me. That doesn't satisfy me." And they tell you they understand the gospel. No, you don't, because if you hear the gospel, you're going to try to be under it, and you're going to try to be controlled by it, and you want to be. Fill, that means satisfied. Hungry, that means figuratively is famished, spiritually famished. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has satisfied those who are famished with good things. And the rich, he is sent away empty. The rich, this is to be increased with goods. Sounds familiar, like the poor in the farm. I'll build more and more and more. Today, his soul is required. Sent, that means dismissed. Empty means vain. And I just did synonyms for vain. That meant self-loving, conceited, self-absorbed. For he hath satisfied those who are spiritually famished with good things. The gospel is good news. The gospel is concerning a person and concerning his work. Who he is. What he's done. Where he's at now. He didn't stay in the grave. He was resurrected to newness of life. We serve a living Savior. There are more people I talk to. They can't figure that out. So that's just going through an old God in the book. No, he's ever present, making intercession for us right now. He's a living God, which we've been seeing in 1 Peter, living Lord. But the rich, they're sent away, they're sent, they're dismissed. And you know, really, you think about it, to be dismissed. Now, we've looked at verses 8 through 8, which is, I guess, 6, 7, 8. We looked at 1 through 8, first point, about Mary's just sheer exaltation and glory and magnifying the Lord God. This is that piece of time. This will go into something I hope we get in the future. Verses 54 and 55. Now what she's doing, going back to him. So look at what he says. And he had set his servant, Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our father, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. He's going back, and we have him. What God has done in church history. And promise. I cannot stress this enough. When you get, and you hopefully you'll never get over just the fact that He saved you. Just go back like a little kid and just remember the first, He's the firstling of the flock, and we follow that. And we're as little children, and you remember with tear in the eye and smile on your cheek and just think about what He's done and what He's doing to you, what He did yesterday and the day before. But it's not wrong to go back in this book and to see, recount what He has done for His brethren in time past. What He has done for brethren in your own personal situation in time past, who maybe the Lord has taken home. Maybe Henry Mahan. Maybe Scott Richardson. Jack Shanks. I knew all those men. And I recount the things they said when they were going through difficult times and trials. But this last section, Mary has, as do all believers, they know their scriptural scroll, in her case, she knew her scroll history. And those wonderful promises God makes to all His dear children. Psalms 98. Psalms 98. Verse 1, 2, and particularly verse 3. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath given Him the victory. The Lord hath made His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He hath remembered. God will never forget a promise that He has made to His people by covenant foundation to everyone who is left. They're there. Grab them. Scoop them up. They're yours. If you know Him, they're yours. So this is what Mary, she's rejoicing, and then it's like something comes in her head. She's like, but this is what He said He was going to do. But we doubt it all the time. We doubt, you know, I don't know whether we, this in this room or this country, we doubt whether we'll have enough food or not. But we get concerned about economic money, about jobs, about positions, about titles, about the Lord. He may not take, He's taking care of me up to this point, but now I've got to make sure, I've got to kind of put them on the side and make sure I got all my ducks in a row, this and that. We always do that. There's nothing wrong with being prepared. But there is something wrong with being prepared and presuming on God or just casting Him aside. Oh, to live more like Abraham that was fully persuaded in his soul, his heart. As He spoke to our fathers, as He spoke to our fellow believers, as He speaks to those of the household of faith, lay hold on it. Lay hold on it. As He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. He is God. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. So I ask us four questions. Or I ask us four things this morning. One, has God been miraculous to you? Salvation is a miracle. Secondly, has He shown us mercy to which we do not deserve? Thirdly, then I tell you, if He has, well, number one and number two, if the answer is yes, and yes, you will rejoice and be exceeding glad for every ounce of it, every ounce of salvation, every ounce of grace. Like a passage that Matt and Tara like, His mercies are new every morning. Or do we see Him every morning? No, we're kind of too busy complaining about this. The oven didn't turn on. I want my bacon today. You know, something. You know, we were talking this morning. The brethren in Africa. Come on. Jean-Claude made a comment to me one time, and I understood it, but I didn't understand it for a while. I said, well, bring them over here. Bring some of those pastors over here. He said, no, I won't do it. It would destroy them. He said it would destroy them. Why? They come over and see the amount of plenty that we have. How many of us have, this is for the women, how many of us have two or three pair of shoes in our closet? No. I'm just saying this. I'm the same way with my clothes or whatever. He said it would destroy them if they came over here because we have so much in this country. So I tell you, if God has been miraculous to you, if God has shown you mercy, which we do not deserve, then we will rejoice and be exceeding glad for every ounce of it. And just go back and look at these verses that Mary. And lastly, I tell you to go forth in faith, like Mary, claiming all His promises to us were, and live in peace and rest all of our days here. Because as you get older and you can't do stuff, you walk in that garage and you look at that thing and you said, why have I been hanging on to this for five? I don't need this. We begin to look out instead of looking within. Not about self. And whatever happens, Lord, they find a spot in your lung. They find a spot in my lung, in my belly. You say, I'm your handmaiden. Do what you seem is right. And I know it's easy for me to stand up here, everybody's healthy, and say that. But do we believe His gospel? Do we trust in Him? This place is nice, but this is the nicest place we've ever been. We met in homes. We met at rental property. And the Lord finally opened this up. And when we've had pastors come here, they said, it's pretty nice. I said, yeah, it's more than what we deserve. Because, I mean, really, we were fine at the other places. But in this country, if you kind of want to get some people to come, you know, they kind of think it's a cult if you're meeting in a home. And we are concerned about these things, but may our focus not be. And I thought about this week. Every time something happens, Lord, follow me. Well, what about this guy? What about you? What does that have to be? Follow me. Follow me. Let's follow Christ together. That's the local. That's the local ecclesia. Is we're all following Christ together. Go forth in faith like Mary. He spake to our fathers and to our seed, that's me. What He said to our fathers. And they looked at those promises afar off. They didn't have the New Testament scriptures. The full canonization wasn't realized. We have that. And you'll have peace and rest, though you may have less. And then you'll say with Mary, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in the God of my salvation. My salvation. My Savior. My Redeemer. My Redeemer liveth. And you should be able to say as Job, one day these eyes, not another, these eyes. Right now it's by faith, not by sight. But then one day, these eyes are going to behold Him. You know, all this stuff we've been thinking is important, all these divisions that we're so earnest in keeping up, it's going to be scattered. Lord, then we'll see how foolish we have been, but we'll see how great His grace has been to the likes of us. Matt, would you close us?